Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Radio 1120 KMOX. Hey, I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah. This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's 8:32. Happy Monday. Happy birthday, Illinois. It's officially Illinois' 200th birthday today, wow. Celebrating their bicentennial.
Nice.
Yeah, December 3rd, 1818. It's also my mom's birthday, so happy birthday to Joanne. Sad news over the weekend with the passing of George H.W. Bush. His presidency, of course, soared with the coalition victory over Iraq and Kuwait, but then plummeted in the throes of a weak economy that led voters to turn him out of office. And we heard that clip over and over. Read my lips. No new taxes. That's how George Bush went out of office. He died Friday at the age of 94. Charlie, your thoughts on former President Bush?
Oh, where to begin? I mean, he was a gentleman. There's no doubt about that. And he certainly represented the country well. He was a great public servant. He came from, you know, a lot of money, and he could have, you know, just spent his whole life hanging out with friends and enjoying himself. But instead, he served the country in so many different ways. You know, UN ambassador, CIA director, congressman, president, vice president. But one of the things I thought was most amazing is when they listed all the countries that cooperated with us in that first Iraq war on our side. And he spent, along with James A. Baker III, his Secretary of State, you know, untold hours getting the coalition together. It included Saudi Arabia, the United Kingdom, Egypt, France, Syria, Morocco, Kuwait, Oman, Pakistan, Canada, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Bangladesh, Italy, Australia, the Netherlands, Niger, Sweden, Argentina, Senegal, Spain, Bahrain, Belgium, Poland, South Korea, Norway, Czechoslovakia, Greece, the Philippines, Denmark, New Zealand, and Hungary. You know, that's amazing. All on the same site trying to get Saddam out of Kuwait. And I honestly think that might be his greatest achievement. I really do.
Well, this is Michael Kelly. I have to tell you that I think that I never voted for President Bush, either of them. But I was becoming politically aware when he was vice president of the United States, and the word patriot gets abused, I think, in our society today, but it's applicable for George Bush. I mean, what he did, from serving for the military to the CIA to Congress to vice president to president of the United States, what a special man. And obviously, there's still members of the Greatest Generation alive, but this may be the final chapter of the Greatest Generation with George Bush dying.
You know, sometimes, too, we think of the Kennedys as being the political dynasty in this country. But really, when you look at families and elective office and how far the members got, obviously the Bushes are the political dynasty in this country.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And they had a legacy here that existed with Bucky Bush, who was the president's brother who lived here in St. Louis. And they had a tie to Missouri. And did so much for the Republican Party here in Missouri as well.
You know what we should really do? Finally, at some point, we need to put a plaque up on, I think it's 1420 Washington Avenue, where David Davis Walker started Ely Walker Dry Goods in the 1870s, maybe 1860s. Then his son was George Herbert Walker. Daughter was Dorothy Davis Walker Bush, of course, followed by George Herbert Walker Bush and George W. Bush, right here. I mean, the Walkers really were the prominent side of the Bush family, even though Prescott Bush did move to St. Louis and his first job was here. But the Walkers were really influential. And what's not mentioned too often is that George Herbert Walker II was really the mentor to George Herbert Walker Bush and groomed him. And the result, of course, is, you know, history.
Very much so.
Well, he will lie in state in the U.S. Capitol through Wednesday when they have the service for him. So I'm sure we'll be hearing many more remembrances of George H.W. Bush in the next few days.
Yeah, we're going to do so next hour. We're going to talk to Gene McNary, who served as his Immigration and Naturalization Services expert. And then we have Candy Crowley joining us, Molly Hyland, whose family had a connection to the Bush family, and Jack Buechner, former congressman, is going to be with us.
All right. I'll be excited to hear from Candy. We haven't heard from Candy Crowley in a while. All right, let's talk about something else that's local, and that is Metrolink. Ridership is down 20%, but apparently that is not unusual. It's mirroring a nationwide trend. Some are citing the rise of ride-sharing services for part of the drop. The drop in passengers comes as local leaders are planning a new north-south line and talking about how to pay for it. Michael Kelly, with ridership dropping, should we be expanding Metrolink?
I don't know. Clearly, we have transportation needs, especially for people who cannot afford their own car. And north-south, getting around the St. Louis area is very tough. And the bus system may not be able to cut it alone. But when you have ridership dropping the way that it is to go out and invest the billions of dollars that would be necessary, it's a good question. I think it's something we are going to have to either find alternatives to or find to be able to do pieces. But there's no doubt we need some help with mass transit as it relates to going north and south in this community.
Well, I do think crime's a big issue. You know, we are down 20%, down millions of riders, actually. And New York is down, but it's down 1 or 1.25%. So it's, they in New York, they think it's, A, the reliability. It's not funded as well as it could be. They're also complaining about that in Washington, D.C. And also Uber is really a very popular alternative. But what I think, our Metrolink is not connecting a lot of people to the jobs that they want. And I think if we're going to give out all sorts of tax breaks, we should make sure that the companies getting them are within a quarter mile of a Metrolink station. And the same is true for housing subsidies. Why not make sure that these Metrolink stops really are centers of either housing or jobs?
And why we also could explore other options where the main vein could be Metrolink, and maybe there's streetcars, not necessarily what we're witnessing in University City, but like they have in Kansas City, at grade moving that's far cheaper that can move people. Because you look at this NGA site that's going on, so many people are going to need to be able to get to that area. There's no Metrolink within a mile of it.
Isn't that what they're planning for the North-South line? It would be a street level, I believe so. It would be more like they have in
Europe. Well, that's far more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was supposed to be at street grade by the Parkview subdivision next to Washington University along Forest Park Avenue. But a number of the residents there said, we don't want that thing going by at all hours of the day. And so they successfully petitioned under an attorney by the name of Mike Stevens and I think Eric Mink, who at the time was with the Post-Dispatch, really rallied to make sure it went underground. And you can understand that, I suppose. Although, I've seen the Metrolink go by a lot of businesses. You can't even hear it.
No, it's pretty quiet, except for the bells or the signals. It's 8:40, and speaking of transportation, we need to get you to work or school on time. Traffic and weather together on the way.
Overtime continues.
If you'd like to celebrate, I'd be okay with that.
On KMOX.
Love it. Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
All right, there are a million versions of this song, a holiday favorite, although I have to admit, the last few years, the song has creeped me out a little bit. And in my family, we call it the Bill Cosby song.
Ooh.
Yeah. What'd you put in my drink? You know, ew, what'd you put in my drink? Well, at least one station, WDOK, 102.1 WDOK in Cleveland, they exclusively play Christmas music during the holidays, like our KEZK station down the hall. They are removing Baby It's Cold Outside from rotation after a listener called to say it was inappropriate amid the Me Too movement and saying it sounds a little too rapey. What do you think, Charlie?
Well, in my family, WDOK was a big part of our life because my father would listen to it. DOK was kind of like based on doctor's office. So at the time it was Muzak. And when my dad would drive me home from high school, he would listen to it. And the DJ was Ted Lux, who everyone who was under like 18 called Ted Sucks. And because it was the music we didn't want to hear, we wanted to listen to the rocker, WMMS. So if I don't hear WDOK for the rest of my life, that'll be just fine with me. But in this case, I love that song, especially in the movie Elf. And I guess I'm one of these guys who just listens to the melody and the arrangement. I don't even listen to lyrics. I really don't. And you ask me the lyrics of any song, I don't know them. So if this song's offensive, I'm the last to know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you listen to the words, it's rapey a bit. But I mean, I love the song too, and I'm with you. I like it from Elf. I love it when Dean Martin sings it. If you hear the words, I think if it was a song that came out today, it would be banned.
Yeah.
But because it's so old, I think we're kind of going over the top stopping it.
Yeah, I read a person online over the weekend, their post went viral, just breaking it down what it really means. And it came out in the 40s when a woman was never supposed to be unaccompanied, unchaperoned right. at a man's house. And so what you put in my drink was like an excuse like, oh, I'm a little tipsy, right. but and I don't know if I can leave. So it wasn't rapey in the 40s, but yeah, now it's kind of the yeah. Bill Cosby
song. So what do
song.
We do down the hall? 102.5?
I don't know. They're playing it. I've heard it. Yeah.
They're playing it between Springsteen's Paul McCartney, Happy Christmas. I can't stand the Christmas music.
Oh.
It's just on too long.
Yeah, we played a lot of it yesterday because we put the tree up and decorated it. But then I won't probably listen until Christmas week.
He didn't vote for George Bush, either of them. He doesn't like Christmas music.
My He's
opponent
no patriot.
Over here, ladies and gentlemen. If you want him leading your country, fine.
Well, we've been talking about gas prices going down, the president thanking Saudi Arabia for that. Now the Trump administration working with Republicans in Congress and an influential Alaska Native corporation is clearing the way quickly for oil exploration in the federally protected Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. It's the biggest untapped onshore trove of oil in North America. It's believed to lie beneath the refuge's coastal plains. Michael, do you have any issues with drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge?
It's not necessary. And second of all, the prices aren't going down because of Saudi Arabia. It's coming down because of domestic production that we have already. I'd like us to explore more alternatives to fossil fuels. Someday these things are going to run out. And why we're not incentivizing and working hard to find alternatives for it, it just seems to me that makes better. I also believe we have stewards to be good stewards of the place that we live. And gosh knows we've done our best to ruin it. Boy, if we could look the other way and try to not do this, that'd be great.
Well, but do look at the other side of the equation, and that is if we are producing domestically, and we have been, I think we are now a larger producer of oil than either Saudi Arabia
yes.
or Russia.
Right.
That way, we can give them the middle finger salute when it comes to foreign policy.
How about great would it be to give the whole oil industry the middle finger salute and find alternatives?
Well, I know that you abandoned your car years ago. Is that correct, Michael?
Come on.
You don't drive?
No, well, we
you
all do.
When you went to Mexico, would you walk?
That, no, but it doesn't
you
mean
walk
that we couldn't
Mexico?
Be exploring for other alternatives.
No.
We seem to move heaven and earth, literally, to find oil rather than maybe taking just 10% of the money we're spending in exploration to find alternatives.
Honestly, seriously, what did you take? A plane that was fueled by solar
oil.
Energy?
No,
all my friends on the left who are such environmentalists, I don't know one that actually commutes
Charlie,
with somebody else.
Well, there aren't any electric planes
conclusion.
Yet.
I mean, yeah, there's no alternatives right now. What I'm suggesting is we take 10% of the resources we're using to explore for oil to find alternatives so that we can have something besides.
Do you
oil.
Take MetroLink? You live downtown. You got access to MetroLink.
I walk most of the time downtown. But I mean, MetroLink doesn't go to where I need it to go.
Do you ever go to Clayton? Do you ever need to see anyone in Clayton?
Drive.
Do you ever
I
take?
Drive.
See, there you go. Mm-hmm. No further questions, Your Honor.
Yes, so let's not look for alternatives ever.
Yeah.
No, we're not saying that. Let's just be real.
Well, that's my argument.
And let's recognize that if you are producing domestically, it does give you international advantages.
We have sufficient supply right now. What I'm suggesting is rather than going out and finding more, maybe we ought to find alternatives.
All right, what about your Christmas lights? Did you go overboard? We're going to talk about that when we return right here on Overtime. KMOX News Time is 8:48.
This is Overtime.
Don't you understand? We can't stop ourselves.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
All right, it's 8:40. Make that 8:51. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Michael Kelly. And after entertaining visitors for 15 years with their extravagant Christmas lights, a New Jersey family has been threatened with thousands of dollars in fines if they don't shut it down. The order comes from Old Bridge Mayor Owen Henry, who says crowds attracted by the holiday spectacular create a safety hazard for other residents by making the street impassable, and he's imposing a $3,000 fine for each night the Apruzzi family leaves the lights on. So how would you feel, Charlie, if you lived next door to the Apruzzis?
Well, it kind of reminds me of that health inspector from New York and Ghostbusters who was shutting it down. I mean, I don't know. Come on, guys. It's Christmas. These are lights. I actually have a probably what you would consider an over-the-top display, thanks to Rottler Pest Control. And I ran into a neighbor, Tom, the other day at the bank, and he says, we call it the Griswold display. And I'm like, really? Do you? I'm making an effort to bring light to this neighborhood. Christmas lights, holiday decor, actually help illuminate the neighborhood, which is good for public safety, I should think. I'm sorry. I just can't side with the neighbors in this case.
Yeah, but you have to see this display. I mean, people are lining up for miles. I don't know if you've ever go out to Tillis Park and see the lines that takes place. It just ruins neighborhoods forever. Now, that's a public place, and there's cops there dealing with it. Imagine this being that size in your neighborhood. I don't think you'd like it.
Okay, he doesn't like Bush, doesn't like Christmas songs.
No.
You know, I actually lived at the corner of White and McKnight across from Tillis Park for 10 years. People said to me, oh, you must hate it. I loved it. It gave the feeling of a whole community coming together. I had no problems with it whatsoever.
How'd you feel about it when you had to run out and get a gallon of milk at 5:30 at night?
You know what? You just went the other way. You took White over to Brentwood and you skipped McKnight. It really wasn't that difficult.
You know, there are some other communities that are starting to charge people extra because they are saying, you know, their displays are so over the top that they're using too much electricity, so they're getting charged extra.
Well, they should get charged extra. Your electricity is based on usage, so that's fair.
Right, but I mean like over and above.
Hmm.
Like you're making a spectacle of yourself, you're going to get charged even more.
Well, everything's controversial. What's the next story? Should we have real or fake Christmas trees? I don't know. I mean, you can find a problem with eggnog, mistletoe, the song Baby It's Cold Outside.
But if you put enough booze in the eggnog, people stop caring.
You light a candle?
I light a smelly candle rather than put up a Christmas tree. I'm just by myself. What am I going to do?
I wonder why you're by yourself.
All right, let's have another topic here. Federal government workers just found out that certain topics are off limits while on the job. This is according to a new report in the New York Times. A memo went out Wednesday to 2 million federal employees informing them that the word resist and any impeachment talk will be banned, going so far as to say it is illegal for them to participate in such discussions at work. Critics are calling this a massive overreach. Michael Kelly, overreach?
Sure. Sure it is. I mean, it's a First Amendment right. Now, I can understand that you don't want people sitting in the office emailing back and forth, debating impeachment or talking about the resist movement. But if you and I are grabbing a cup of coffee and I say, hey, did you hear the conversation about the president's potential impeachment? Come on. It's a First Amendment right.
Funny thing is, here we are in a news talk station. I bet if we had a conversation in the hallway, no one would be talking about resist or impeachment anyway.
Exactly.
Is it overreach, do you think, Charlie?
Well, businesses can regulate speech within the office. They can do that. And if you don't like it, you can express your, you know, First Amendment rights by getting on a soap stand or a soapbox out in the county square. But
I didn't see the report. So are those the only words that are being banned? The only topics
imagine,
of conversation?
Global warming would be something that you're not allowed to talk about, too.
Raises.
Let's see. Let's do a quick one here. A new study by MedicareHealthPlans.com listed the most Googled health symptoms in every state, and Missouri and Illinois residents both Googled the word stress more than any other word. Charlie, with unemployment at record low levels and wages rising, why are people in Missouri and Illinois so stressed?
I don't know. Maybe they're Googling it and they're not stressed. I don't know. Life is stressful around here as you watch the Rams head to the Super Bowl and they'll probably win it. That's what's stressing me.
Yeah,
11-1,
I will be
those
paying
Rams.
Zero attention to that.
Yeah, isn't stress one of those catch-all words? It's kind of like what we say when we don't know what you have going on. Well, I got so much going on. Oh, you're stressed. So it would make sense that people Google it.
But who would Google stress?
I don't know. My therapist.
All right, we have to go. That is Michael Kelly and Charlie Brennan. Charlie Brennan Show after the news at the top.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.